You're listening to Back to the Light with J.D. Rieger. Hey everybody, welcome to yet another episode of Back to the Light. I am J.D. Rieger. Memphis folks, please pick up a copy of my new record, Where Wasn't I, which incidentally just received a fantastic review from the Memphis Flyer, at Shangri-La, Goner, and River City Records. You can also get the new Subteens LP there. Both are available in the shop at backtothelight.net. That's worldwide, baby! Oh, speaking of me and the Subteens, we're both playing at the rescheduled Back to the Light Fall Turnout Saturday, November 5th in Memphis at Wiseacre OG, that's the Broad Avenue location. The show starts at 2 p.m. and also features our friends Rosie, Spacer, and Loose Opinions, and it's free to attend, so come on out Saturday, November 5th. Alright, I've got three amazing guests on the docket for this session. The first two, Elizabeth Kaywine from Music Export Memphis and Graham Winchester from Turnstiles, So Gung Ho, The Reunited Raining Sound and Compulsive Gamblers, and just so many bands. Those were recorded at the Tambourine Bash at the Overton Park Shell in Memphis. After that, we'll talk to and hear music from Rachel Maxann. That was recorded in Nashville at Americana Fest. Both events, the Tambourine Bash and the Americana Fest Showcase, were put on by Music Export Memphis, who we thank for having us out at the shows. Check out musicexportmemphis.org for more information about what they do. All right, let's start the show. Elizabeth, here we are on the Mempho deck.
We are our presenting sponsor, Mempho. We're hanging out on their deck at Tambourine Bash.
Yeah, and how are you feeling? This thing's about to start in like half an hour, right?
I feel good because I have the benefit of having been here for soundcheck, which was amazing, and having been at Royal last night for the rehearsal for our Super Jam finale, which is unreal. And I am so excited for everyone else to experience it. So
this is obviously going to run after the fact, so you can just go ahead and spoil it now. What's going to happen?
But I'm going to spoil it for you, JD.
Oh, that's fine. I don't matter.
All right. So the songs are Hold On, I'm Coming, I Can't Stand the Rain, and The Letter.
Oh, cool.
And
that's one that we've covered many times.
Well, they're doing Joe Cocker's version, and it
I like that version.
Slaps. I mean, I recorded it on my phone and played it for my husband over breakfast this morning because I was so excited. And I was like, I'm going to ruin this for you now, but it's so incredible. I don't know. It's just, I think that I work really hard, and I love my work. I literally invented this organization. I guess I would have to love it. But what really struck me last night while I was at Royal is that I'm very lucky. My job has some really, really cool perks. Like I was an audience of one at that rehearsal last night for all these incredible musicians packed into that studio together, singing these songs. And it was just like, people would kill for this experience. I mean, and I feel that way so much in Memphis about so many things we have here, right? That are just so ordinary to us.
I mean, I feel that way a little bit about being here doing this tonight.
Totally.
Yeah.
There are people who would just be like agog at the things that are just commonplace here. And it's one of the reasons why I love Memphis. And the fact that it's all accessible. And like people like Boo Mitchell, who just casually has Grammys sitting in the hallway at the studio that you just walk by, is such a generous person and is so psyched to produce this finale for us every year.
Like, I was about to say, he's the band leader,
yes,
like the Paul Schaefer
he produces
of the show.
It, yeah, and he's done some really cool stuff with some of the BGVs on a couple of these songs. I mean, they've done cool stuff with a lot of things, but I'm particularly excited about that. Yeah.
Cool. Who are some of the other collaborations you're excited about tonight?
Oh, I mean, I can't pick favorites, but I will say, since this is airing after the fact, there are some secret surprise performances that are happening. We reached out to our wonderful friends at Unapologetic, and asked them to, in the spirit of the evening, which is all about collaboration, we asked them to pair a rapper and a producer who hadn't worked together before to create a new song. And so we've got three of those. So, premieres of new songs, collaborations. And those are going to be kind of popping up throughout the night. So I'm super, super pumped about that.
I've seen the schedule, so.
Yes. Okay. Well, then I'm not ruining it for you. I'm super excited about that. And just okay, I have to say, I will say this, even though I can't pick favorites, there is a collaboration that made me feel truly insane, which was when I put together Aquarian Blood, Lucky Seven Brass Band, and Rachel Maxan. There are like 16 people on the stage at one time.
That's a fun mix. I've had
amazing.
Two out of the three are former guests on the show.
It's amazing, and they sound incredible. Like, the sound check today got me so excited, and I just love that in the spirit of this event, they were all kind of like, yeah, okay, like, cool. There's 16 of us, but you know, we're gonna make it work. And I think I've been told that they have an original that they've worked up too, which is just,
that doesn't surprise me. That sounds like something JB would like insist on. Like, we have to do something new.
It's just great. And it never fails that after this event, and I've already heard this, so before this event, I hear from different musicians that are like, hey, we never worked with so-and-so before, and now we're going to cut this thing that we did. Or like, we're doing another song with them. And like, that is literally why we do this the way that we do. I mean, yes, it's a fundraiser for our work, but for us, it was like, we can't just throw a party and have some live music to raise money. It's got to really push the creative envelope a little bit, and I feel like we've achieved that, and it makes me so happy.
Yeah, we did a taping with Marcella for the Shangri-La Records podcast, and one of the songs she shared was one of the songs that she developed at last year's Tambourine
Bash.
Oh
my gosh,
it's now going to be on her next record.
I love that. That was one of my favorite sets last year. Marcella, Devonna Taylor, and David Parks, like, so good, so good. That's awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was neat. Before I let you go, we also did a big thing at Americana Fest.
Yeah.
So do you want to, how did that go for you?
It was great. You know, I love doing that event for a number of reasons. And a big one is that we've done it for so many years now that we have people that just show up. They don't know who we're going to have, but they know we're going to throw a great party and that we're going to bring incredible music. And that's exactly the reputation that I want to develop. So it feels really good to like see some of those repeat faces, but also just hear people in the crowd being like, oh, we always come to the Memphis party because it's good music. And we know it's going to be good. Like that's exactly
and
why we do what we do.
It was really, really cool.
Oh, I love that venue. Indo, it's awesome. And, yeah, I mean, our headliner unfortunately did get COVID. Corey Brandon was not able to headline, but then we had Garrison Starr who stepped in and just slayed it, and I just love her.
And it was funny, I got to tell her. Did you hear that part of the story?
No.
Well, I texted Corey a couple of days before to say, hey, man, we're going to be at Americana Fest, so let's talk while we're both there. And he was like, oh, I've got COVID. Garrison Starr is filling in for me. You should talk to her. But no one had talked to Garrison yet.
Because Corey gave me the wrong email. He gave me one letter wrong in Garrison's email address.
So I immediately texted Garrison like, hey, I hear you're filling in for Corey. And she's like, I mean, no one has talked to me.
Well, that's great. Yes. No, Corey literally was like, literally gave me, I don't know, someone named a different name has received a lot of emails about performing at Americana Fest. So I don't know.
They're probably looking for that check in the mail.
They are. It's not coming. I'm so sorry.
Well, all right. Before we let you go, seriously, but for folks who aren't familiar with Music Export Memphis, do you want to do the spiel?
Of course. Music Export Memphis creates opportunities for artists who live here in Memphis to do what they do all over the world, to represent our city while they do it. We provide tour grants. We do showcases at festivals like Americana Fest and around the world. And ultimately, everything is about subsidizing working musicians here to make Memphis a city of choice for artists, for musicians. And you can learn more at Music Export. Memphis.org.
Now that I'm a citizen of Memphis again, I'm going to be hitting up that merch fund.
Heck yes. Come on down. The maximum has now increased to $1,000, which is really helpful for vinyl projects.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Yeah, thank you, JD.
Have a great night tonight.
We're going to do it.
All right, Graham, good to see you. We have talked about this many times. Now we're doing it.
We're doing it, man. The dream has become a reality.
I don't know where to start or where to begin because you're in so many bands. You just came back from Europe. How was that? Who were you with?
It was awesome. Went to Denmark with Jack O, and the Jack O band consists of two other bands kind of built in with the Sheiks and Turnstiles. So we did a garage rock festival called Gutter Island Garage Rock Fest, and we all played a set. It was really, really nice. Crowd was receptive for all three bands. I think most people there had heard of Jack and the Sheiks because of previous Europe tours, but we really had fun kind of debuting Turnstiles and Europe, and a lot of those songs are primitive and chanty and rocking, so that was a really cool crowd response.
That's cool. So the crowd dug it. Did you get to take merch over there? Is that weird to do?
We did take merch. We took a couple suitcases of records and tons of shirts and sold a good bit, which helped out a lot because a lot of our payment for the gig went towards our plane tickets, you know. So,
sure.
But we were able to sell a good amount of merch. And what was kind of cool is before the gig, the festival had made a playlist with our bands on there, so a lot of people were singing along to songs that we didn't expect them to have ever heard before.
Yeah, that's wild, especially since I would assume a lot of these people would not be like natural English speakers.
Right, right. You could kind of hear just kind of... Seth and I were playing with Turnstiles, and there was this droney... I thought it was feedback, but it was this kind of Danish take on the English lyrics, and they were singing along to like a little like country garage song that we wrote, and just blew me away, man. It was really nice. It felt good.
So you play with Jack Oblivion, but you've also been playing with his sometime partner, Greg.
Yeah.
You were in the last run of The Raining Sound.
Yeah, last couple years of The Raining Sound, and then we got a lineup of the Compulsive Gamblers together to do a Midwest run through Chicago, Milwaukee, Cleveland, and Detroit. Detroit was really cool because it was bittersweet because it was a tribute show to Rachel from the Detroit Cobras that passed away. So they played, we played, a young band from Detroit played. I can't remember what they were called, but they were like right out of high school and kind of had the endorsement of the Detroit Cobras as like the new young rockers. And it was just a really big show at the Magic Stick. And then we came back and did Gonerfest like 10, 12 days later. And hopefully there'll be some more Gamblers stuff on the horizon. I think there will be. So,
how are those two different as band leaders?
That's an interesting question. I know there's a difference. I haven't really thought about what it is. I think Greg might be a little bit more particular than Jack about some things with feel and dynamic. And song choice. I would say that maybe Greg's just a little bit more particular in general. Not that Jack isn't particular. I remember starting off playing with his band 10 years ago, and he'd be like, "Hey, man, can you just do the kick drum four on the floor instead of that funky stuff you're doing?" So I think they both have their own... They definitely both know what they want to hear.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just kind of try to be there for it, you know. I think Greg does get a little bit more ballady, I would say.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
The Raining Sound and Compulsive Gamblers both have some Cartwright.
Jack's a little more riffy.
A little more riffy, man. A little bit more, like, if you were going to, it's almost how I think about, like, how the Beatles can be maybe a little bit more easily transferred over to an orchestra than Led Zeppelin, for instance. It's harder, like, there's a little bit more melodic movement and a little bit more chordiness in the Cartwright tunes, I would say.
I think that's fair.
There's definitely some more dirge and a little bit more riffiness with Jack. Not that either one of them can go the other way, though. I just think we're talking majority of their tunes here, you know?
So when are you going to go for the trifecta and start a band with Eric?
Oh, man. I never thought about it. Tonight.
You got to check the box, man.
What's his number?
I'll tell you off the air.
Yeah. But yeah, I did. It was really fun. I remember a couple Goners Fest ago playing some Washboard with the Oblivions when they had that great...
Oh, that's cool.
Singer down... It was downtown in the alley. And they did an alley show. And they had a wonderful woman come up and sing. I think she's from Jamaica, if I'm not mistaken. I forget her name, man, but... It was cool. That was the only time I've gotten to play with Jack, Eric, and Greg.
Who haven't you sat in with?
Golly.
I mean, you're on my new record, too, so I can't say anything.
I can't wait. J.D. Rieger, record coming out tomorrow, Friday.
As we record this, yeah.
Yes.
So, okay, before I let you go, I know you're also a solo artist, so are you working on anything new in that area?
I definitely am. Glad you asked. I've released a single from an album that I'm going to put out, and I'm still kind of plotting my release strategy as far as I think I'm going to do vinyl. But for now, I'm putting out some singles on Spotify and Bandcamp and all that.
Oh,
and
that's cool.
It's called Nobody Waters the Flowers, and it's my... Everybody's got a pandemic project, I think, unless they were just totally uninspired, which I know some friends just hung up the guitar for a year and a half. But
my new thing's kind of a pandemic project.
Yeah, Yeah, I just did it all at home in my little home studio and got Jacob Church to master it and make it sound good. And
he's the best.
My friend Leanna Carey, a great artist here in Memphis, she did the cover art. And I just can't wait to put it out. And tonight I wrote a new song that we're playing here at the Tambourine Bash with my group, which is me, Grace Askew, Mark Stewart, and Sean Zorn and Seth Moody.
Oh, that's a good mix.
And it's a fun mix, and we all kind of played together in different realms. And when we got together, Mark said, "Graham, you're not going to be crazy garage rock boy. You're going to get on those keys." So I'm able to like play a song that I wrote just a couple weeks ago that's more of a Charlie Rich inspired kind of piano ballad. So
that's cool. I can't wait to hear that.
Thank you, man. I might have to do a whole record that way.
You're a heck of a keyboard player.
Thank you, man. I play like a drummer, you know. I don't use my pinkies and thumbs, but I play rhythmically and just kind of do what I know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's my own thing for sure.
Don't you have a new Turnstiles record out or coming out soon too?
Yes. We
got to get all those plugs in.
Cut You, man. Thank you. Cut You Off is our first one that's already out, and then we got
sold many of those and the So Gung Ho.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. At the store.
I'm excited about both of those. I can stand by those releases, I think.
I think of those bands as kind of the same, but just with a bass player.
Well, it's funny because Jared kept coming to Turnstile shows, and Jared McStay, and he kept saying, "Man, let me get on the bass." And we were like, "Man, Turnstiles is a duo, but we'll start a new band with you." So that's how So Gung Ho came about. And the second Turnstiles record, we got real creative with the title, but it's called Turnstiles 2. And
yes.
Seth's wife did some really amazing, Coco Moody did amazing artwork for it's a gatefold, and it's 30 songs, very short songs, but it's 30 songs, and Black and Wyatt and Head Perfume Records both agreed to co-release it, which is quite a task when you get into the double album. It gets more costly.
That sounds Minutemen-esque, almost.
Yeah, man. I always tell people the good things about our songs is that they're about a minute and a half and then on to the next one. So
yeah,
hopefully we hit you rapid fire enough.
If you don't like this
something
one,
sticks.
Just
yeah.
Wait.
Right. Yeah. And it goes from like surf to garage to psych country to, so we're also switching up genres in the realm of rock and roll, you know, just different branches of rock.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping people find something they like in it, man. I'm excited. I think it'll probably be early spring or late winter when that comes out.
I'm sure we'll be selling them at Shangri-La.
I hope so, man. I've got to come see you guys there.
Yeah,
my
come
favorite
by.
Shop.
We'll talk some more.
I'm down.
All right.
I'm down. I'm glad we did this, man. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, thanks
we're
for shopping by.
We're shaking hands.
Let's shake hands on that.
Imagine a shaking hands because that's what we're doing. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Eric and JD.
Rachel Maxann.
Hello.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Thanks for joining me on the podcast.
Oh, my pleasure.
So I know you're originally from Cincinnati,
mm-hmm.
and through the course of things, you've also done, like, what, New Orleans, L.A.?
Yeah, so you've done
Asheville.
Your homework.
Yeah, well, I do my homework. I try to do my homework. I promise you. So how did you get to Memphis?
You know, so in the pre-pandemic ages, I was touring a little bit more, and I had stopped in Memphis, and I just instantly fell in love with it. I played with a couple bands there. It was the Everdeens and Mama Honey, who I'm still friends with to this day. I just was so enamored by the spirit of it. It's like a very resilient spirit. It's got so much musical history, of course, on studios, Stack Studio. But mostly it's just the people were so welcoming. They were so ready for like different kind of music and just like any type of genre. So it just felt like a good place to settle. And also the rent is way cheaper. So
yeah, as much as people in Memphis complain about the rent these days, I just came from Chicago. So.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I had been living in L.A., you know, before the pandemic. So, like, it was super expensive back then. So I can't imagine what it's like now. But I was like, ooh, this is very cheap rent comparatively.
Well, rent aside, do you find Memphis's music scene to be an easier nut to crack than, say, like Los Angeles?
I think so, yeah. Like, and I feel like it's mostly the musicians that make it so welcoming because in LA, there's a little bit more of a business aspect to it. Like, you can't just go to the jams. Like, there's always, it's like a purpose for something. You don't just go play with people just for fun. It's very like, oh, how is this going to get me to the next step? Whereas Memphis just likes to play music.
Yeah, I mean, you've been in town a couple of years, and you're mm-hmm. you're playing a showcase for Memphis. Yeah. You're already repping Memphis.
Yes, which I am so extremely proud and grateful for the opportunity to do so, because I do really feel like this is Memphis is my home now.
You've got an EP and some singles out on Spotify. One of them is Belonging to Forever. Mm-hmm. Was that recorded in Memphis, or was that pre the move?
That was Memphis. Yeah, so that is a purely Memphis-made EP, as well as my upcoming album, which will feature some of those songs. It's with my producer, Doug. Shout out to Doug at Memphis. And we've been working on it for probably since 2021. But I think it's going to be finally out like around spring. So I'm really excited about that. But yeah, everything from now on is Memphis made.
So the album, is it going to be on Spotify? Is it going to be on LP? Is it going to be
CD? It'll be everywhere. And I really, really hope that I'm able to get the vinyl by spring. Because right now, you know, vinyl is pretty backed up as far as like manufacturing and production. So we'll see. Hopefully within the year, I'll have some vinyls as well as all the streaming.
I think MRP can get you in faster than most other places can.
They did say that would probably be the quickest. So we'll see.
I think they sort of sneak Memphis stuff in a little bit as they can.
Yeah.
Because otherwise what you're saying is totally true. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's really bad right now. But I think you're right, because, you know, Memphis is very it's very supportive of its musicians in ways that I haven't seen in any other city. And like we definitely go extra. We'll, you know, do those little like, oh, we'll slip you in first because, you know, you're from Memphis. We rip.
Has the sound of Memphis been sneaking into your music?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I'm very influenced by everywhere I live and the people I meet and the people I get to, you know, play music with. Doug has definitely added, my producer again, he's added a lot to my sound. Who I'm playing with today, Alice Hasten, who has become one of my best friends. She is a very, you know, folky fiddler. And so that's like added a different element that I didn't expect before. So that's been really cool. And even the guys, my Keela and the Racket, that's going to be backing me, they're very rock and roll and like more of like the bluesy, like hometown rock and roll feel, which is like I've always loved, but, you know, it's never been incorporated into my music as much as it is now.
Are you guys working in a studio, or are you working at like just Doug's place?
Doug's place.
Which Doug is this?
Doug Walker.
Doug Walker used to be in my band.
Shut up.
No, he used to play keyboards in my band. I was wondering if that's who you meant.
Hold on, wait, what is your band called?
JD Rieger and the Cold-Blooded Three.
Oh my gosh.
Tell Doug I said what's up.
I will. That's so crazy. He's gonna be so excited.
He's on my first record, and we toured around a little bit. He played with me on, you know, he was in the band for almost 2 years, maybe 3 years.
Oh my God, that's so funny. I can't wait to tell him. He's gonna be so freaking psyched.
That's fun.
Huh. Love it.
Well, Rachel.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
I think we're good.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
so much. I think we got time for one more, yeah? Yeah? Okay, good, good. Just making sure before the amazing Garrison Starr is gonna come up. I'm so excited! But a big thank you again to all of our Memphis friends out here, Rod Bland, as well as Alexis Jade, Oak Walker. We're lucky we get to see each other when we want to for the most part. So that's pretty cool, but thank you for coming out and sharing this awesome moment with us. A little traveling time.
Me out. How was it?
You've just heard live versions of Better Off Dead and Breathe by Rachel Maxann, and that's the show. Thank you to Elizabeth, Graham, and Rachel. Thank you to Music Export Memphis. Thank you to engineer Eric Wilson, and thank you for listening. Our opening theme is Arthur with Two H's. Our closing theme is Joey Pegram of Shabadoo, right on cue. And for music, news, episode archives, and other fine podcasts, visit backtothelight.net. Until next time, take care, y'all. Part of the Back to the Light podcast network at backtothelight.net.